There was a fire as it engulfed the forest, overtaking the trees, and it was rapidly moving along. The firemen were concerned for a lot of things. One thing in particular they were concerned about was an eagle's nest in this particular forest. And they were concerned that the fire would overtake them and they would not be able to get out. It was a mother who had also a couple of baby chicks. I don't think that's what eagles are actually called, but you get the point. As the firemen went through and they're pushing back brush and various things to try and find the mother with the nest and the babies, they found the mother. They found the mother on the ground, charred body, big eagle, with its wings all stretched out. They moved the eagle, and underneath was the nest and the babies, still alive. It's interesting what God has put in animals, how mothers are there to protect and to take care of. In the United States and in many other nations around the world, a special day is set aside each year to honor mothers. And I personally believe that it is right and it is fitting that we do honor our mothers. In fact, God's word actually tells us to honor both father and mother. In fact, not only just tells us to do so, it's one of the Ten Commandments. So I believe that carries a lot of weight, that we are to do that. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. And that should be enough to the verse. Just told to do so. As a command from God, who also is a loving parent. Honor your father and your mother. And then he adds more to it, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. And hopefully we all do honor our parents each and every day of the year, not just on a special set-aside day. But having one special day does seem to help at least some of us to be able to get back in touch with this basic principle of honoring our parents, including our mothers. Because you see, it is so easy to let an active level of honoring our mothers slip away, slip past us from time to time as we get so busy during the course of just living life day by day. And so there are times that we just let that slip away. And so I do think that having a day set aside is a really good thing because it can focus us and get us back into that time of thinking and that way of thinking. I also am very much aware that some may say things such as, yes, but you don't know my mother. Maybe not. But hopefully, by the end of the sermon, you might change at least something in your approach to your mother. Today, I'd like to discuss briefly the topic of mothering. It's a huge topic. We're going to spend a short time. Perhaps there are as many ways to look at mothering as there are mothers. They're unique in so many ways, and that's good. So I'd like for us to pause, and I'd like to see the ideals and the potentials for all that God ever intended mothers to be. In heaven, in the distant past eternity, prior to God creating mankind, there was no woman. When God made Adam, God allowed Adam to name all of the other creatures, as the scripture says. God called his wife Eve. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. So yes, Eve was the first human mother. All of us alive today go back to our mother, Eve. And that's an interesting thing when you just think about it. All of us. In fact, some of you may be familiar with this, but several years ago, a man named Steve Olson published a book entitled Mapping Human History, Genes, Race, and Our Common Origins. And again, like I said, some of you may be interested in this, and you may already be aware of some of this, especially with some of the science that is found in the book. I just want to just make this one statement from the book. This book documented the evidence that everyone alive today goes back to one single female who lives somewhere in North Central Africa. Now, according to the book, this woman was supposed to have lived much further back than Mother Eve. But the research on DNA that led to determining one single female and her location is absolutely astounding. I don't recommend books, and I'm not necessarily recommending this one, but if you're very interested in this, go back and get a copy and read the book and see it. It's very scientific, but that's what it comes out, and that's what it shows. And I believe it, and I think you believe that, because that's what God says in the Bible. God also has intended to bring many sons to glory through this wonderful process of human life and salvation through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Just reading the A part of the verse, or the first part of this verse. And it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory. All of humanity is a kind of raw material. God is working out his plan on us and for us. And mothers play an essential part in that plan. Like, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have mothers. Yeah, I know you could say, well, we wouldn't be if we didn't have fathers either. I'm focusing on mothers. Our mothers first met our cries with tears of joy that a man child was born into the world, or to a girl child was born into the world. These creatures, as they were referred to back in Genesis, mothers, they made a permanent place for us in our hearts. They sang lullabies to us. I mean, their intention was to soothe us, to comfort us, to help us to have less fears and tensions and all kinds of things. And so they did these things for us. And you know, just the word mother brings a twinge of warm emotion to many people. In fact, you can just say the word and people, they may even tear up. We've probably all had different statements from our mothers growing up, warnings. If you do this, you've had all of those. I'm going to share a few with you this time. These are some examples of motherly advice. Don't make that face or it'll get stuck in that position. Be careful or you'll put your eye out. What if everyone jumped off the cliff? Would you do it too? Always change your underwear. You never know. You may have an accident. I could make a comment, but I won't. You have enough dirt behind those ears to grow potatoes. Close that door. Were you born in a barn? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Don't put that in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. Now, that's a regular one that we have. And they go on and on. And you can come up with your own and various things. And there's a story about an older teenage boy who wanted to join the Navy. And his mother advised him against it. And then one day it finally came that this teenage boy was going to go enlist into the Navy. So he packs his bag, his duffel bag, and heads out to the closest Navy yard. He's walking, and his mother walks along with him. This is told to be a true story. And his mother walks the distance with him. When he gets there, he goes onto the ship, drops down his duffel bag, and he comes back off to tell goodbye to his mother. And as I said, this is told to be a true story. And so the story goes on that the mother said, "Son, I don't think it's right because I believe God has told me that you should not get on that ship and sail away." So the boy goes back to the ship, picks up his duffel bag, and walks back home with his mother. There are times that we need to listen to our mothers, even though we had other ideas in mind. Oh, by the way, the boy was George Washington, who was going to go and join the British Navy. History could have been different had it not been for his mother. Perhaps in New York Harbor, we would have been fighting against Admiral George Washington. There's also a statement that is given, that's quoted by the 16th president of the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln, and he stated, while in office, the quote is, "I owe all that I am to the credit of my mother." The actual quote was, I took out one word, but I'll tell you the exact quote. It says, "I owe all that I am to the credit of my angel mother." Many of us have been blessed with wonderful women who carried us next to their hearts and loved us every day of our lives. Some of us have not been that blessed, yet that is, I believe, just what God intended. See, we don't live in a perfect world. Many of God's divine qualities are foreshadowed in the love of a dedicated mother. Let me give you an illustration. Just an illustration. One of God's names is El Shaddai. Ever heard that name? Know the name, right? El means God, especially in the sense of mighty. And the word Shaddai, it signifies nourishing, supplying, and satisfying. The word Shaddai comes from a root word that is shad, S-H-A-D. Shad means breast. El Shaddai, the God who nourishes us, who takes care of us. He makes a comparison of himself in that sense with mothers. I believe this is a very beautiful symbolism that perfectly fits what we see in a wonderful mother who is loving and dedicated to her newborn child. That's the way it is intended to be. In Isaiah 66, in verse 13, in the King James Version, it says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Another translation has it different, and I think it puts it a lot clearer what the intent of the, what the sense of the Hebrew is when you translate it. As a mother comforts her child, this is God speaking, so will I comfort you. Again, he's making this comparison, mothers and God. I told you, there are many qualities of God that we are to learn from just looking at mothers. The way that they were designed, the way that God built them, the way that God created them. Remember the eagle? God did that. Well, I think God also does it in humans, in these women that we call mothers. Quite often, God reveals himself through the human experiences that he has designed. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to read verses 19 and 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or is made known in them, for God has showed it unto us, showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now what this is telling us is we learn things about God by looking in nature, by looking at things as God has created. We can look, and it says, in fact, people who deny God, they are without an excuse. I have had adult children. In other words, they're grown-ups now. They're adults, and they still have parents or had parents, obviously, especially mothers, who have told me things such as, through the way my mother lived her life and how she treated me, she showed me many things about God. And they do. And they have. God designed a mother's body to envelop, to embrace the child as it grows prior to birth. This mother's body feeds the baby and it shelters the baby in a protective cradle until the baby is ready to breathe on his own. And even after that, then, even the child has now been born, the mother's body is designed to feed the child, this baby, this born baby now, still longer with milk, perfectly suited for the baby's needs. This is what God did. God is the sustainer. He is the all of these things, and we can just simply look at the human birth process, and you see characteristics of God. I believe this is an absolutely awesome God who has created it this way for us to be able to see him by looking at something that we all just, you know, Google over. You know, this baby is born and, you know, we, you know, not even related to us. Well, yeah, it is too, because we all came from Mother Eve, but you know what I mean. It's not part of our family, but we Google over the new birth of a baby and all of these. Do we look at the baby? Yeah. But do we look at the baby and see God through it? That's what he intended. He could have done it another way. He chose this way that through nature we would see God. Some may say, yeah, but what about all this pain? God pains over us too. God even put antibodies into the mother's body that would pass on to the child to help ward off potential diseases that the mother's body has already conquered. God is so awesome. The mother cares for the child tenderly and responsibly she cleans up the messes. She hurts with us when we hurt. She nourishes us when we are sick. She kisses our boo-boos. And in probably most times, she is our greatest cheerleader, cheering us on to success. Then as the child grows, the mother continues to love and nourish and protect. Remember the eagle. And God did that. This is not about the eagle. This is about God. Mothers are the ones who more likely, the one who provides the initial pattern for living. It can become our foundation for life. Then there comes a time when the child has to be taught many different things. And the perfect mother will teach her child about the love and the nature of God in concert with the Father. I'm not leaving the Father out in this, but we're focusing on the woman. We're focusing on the mother. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up the child in the way the child should be. Mothers will also be diligent as she trains. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. Yes, and the father is part of this. Again, I'm not leaving out dad. But who is the one, in most cases, is the primary teacher of children, especially when they're very little? The mom. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children. Read back up in the chapter, and it talks about it's the laws and the statutes. It's the way of life of God. They're told to do this. They, parents, are told to do this. Well, you know this includes mothers. Train up the child. And then this one, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Who is it, the one who walks around the house with the shadow? You know, the little one who's the shadow. Way the majority of the time, that's the mom. That's the mother. In Proverbs, the young man is exhorted to submit to the discipline and training and to make it an integral part of himself, of his very being, because he's been trained by people who love him. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother, the way of life that she is teaching you. Bind them continually upon your heart. And tie them about your neck. And of course, dedicated, loving discipline is a part of any good training. And a mother's going to do that. Needs to do that. Any way you look at it, God is so thoughtful. If we could all just follow his ideal system, even in this human life would be abundant for all of us. All of us also know that we have to face sin and overcome it. And that's a paraphrase of what God told Cain back in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. But that's another story for another time. Today we're focusing on the ideals and potentials of perfect mothering. We're doing this for several reasons. Let me give you three. One reason we're focusing on this is because we want to think on the wonderful things that we know about our mothers, and all mothers for that matter. A second reason is because these wonderful attributes of a perfect mother point us to the loving perfection of God. A third reason is that God labels the Jerusalem that is above as the mother of us all, meaning spiritually. Galatians 4 and verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, I'm not getting any further into this, but I can also show you that that Jerusalem, who is free, that is the mother of us all, is synonymous with the church. So what did I just say? That in many ways, the mother in a family represents the church. How the church, we could be looking at mothers, how they're supposed to be living their lives according to the way God has designed them to be, and we could see this is the way the church is to be. But like I said, that's something we can do at another time. The perfect loving mother who lives her life in submission to God was meant by God to hover over her children like God made mother hens to do over her chicks. Just like this eagle to protect to the death. You know, if that's what is needed. You see, God wants to do this for us. He put it in chickens of all things. And God wants to do that for us. We can see about God by looking at a mother hen. How God wants to be toward us. Let's see God's desire to do this for Jerusalem. It's what he's in reference to. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. And another translation, the last phrase there where it says, and you would not, is, you would not let me. God has given us mothers to help fulfill his eternal purposes. When we are properly trained and nurtured and protected and loved and admired and enriched and encouraged and strengthened and inspired as God's ideal would have it, we are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. And we are blessed by having these in our lives. These things that I've just talked about, the protection and the training and the nurture and the love and the admiration and all of those things, we are blessed to have those in our lives no matter who gives it to them. But it's primarily the mothers who do this. Thinking on the good things that God has provided to us through our mothers is an excellent way to honor our mothers. Let us also honor all of our elderly women and treat them as our mothers. We are to treat all mothers in that sense as mothers, like they're our mother. Many of the elderly women are widows, and they also should receive honor according to God's word. That's what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as the father, and the younger men as brothers. In other words, treat the older men like fathers. Treat the younger men like brothers. Treat the older women as mothers, and treat the younger women as sisters. That's what it's saying. With all purity. Verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And we have widows. We have widows. Now, having said all of these things, realistically, we all know that none of us has had a perfect mother. Or that any of us are a perfect parent, whether we're a father or mother. Today, what I want is not to look at the failures of our mothers or the failures of ourselves as parents ourselves. We're not looking at that. When you think about it, all failures are attached to this evil society. Let me just ask for a show of hands. How many of you are mothers want to be evil to your children? Well, I didn't get any hands. Why? Because you don't want to do this. How many of you want to fail in any of the duties of a mother to your children? No, I got no hands. Okay. I'm not going to ask the next one because I already know the answer because none of us are perfect. But it wasn't because of desire that people wanted to be this way. I mean, after all, you know, like I said, some could say, yeah, but you didn't know my mother. But we can all thank God there is an end to this. It is all coming to end. And that's a good thing. We need to think on the good things. That's what the instructions in the Bible also tells us. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what our focus is to be on. Do we acknowledge, do we recognize that, you know, that our moms made mistakes? Of course we can acknowledge the fact that, you know, we're not Pollyannas, we're not to be Pollyannas. You know, pretending that there's no bad. Things happen that were not right. This is not the way God ever wanted it to be. This is not the way God is, and we can still learn so many things about God through looking at our mothers, even with failures. Because we can see how God is. If our mothers are still alive, let us look at every opportunity, look for every opportunity that we can to get to honor them, thinking and dwelling on the good things. We need to be kind and courteous and thoughtful and encouraging to them. And we can do that. We can do that. Perhaps we can do thoughtful deeds for them. And perhaps we can make a list of positive things our mothers have done and ask for a special prayer of blessing for them daily. Especially on this once a year day set aside. At least do it then. Maybe we can tell them about the good they did in our lives and not focusing on the not so good. We can surely thank God and our mother that she did not abort us. There are over millions of abortions every year. Because someone, in this case, a bunch of someones, did not have the truth of God. And I would dare say with the truth of God, we would have a lot more babies and a lot more people in this world. So there are things. I don't care, you know, you can say yes, but there is no yes, but. There are things for which we can go to God and we can thank God for what our mothers did. Focus on the good things. It's easy to focus on the things that were not so good. Let's focus on those good things. And then if we were blessed with mothers, then just the, you know, with mothers who really tried to do it right, then that's even so much better. So much better. If our mothers are no longer with us, then let us still continue to think and dwell on the blessing to us that they were. And also, let us honor all elderly women, treating them as we would our own mothers. It's the way God would want it to be. Now I'm going to kind of bring it down to home to those of you who are mothers. If you're dad, you can listen, but I'm talking to our women. These mothers among us. I ask that God would bless you. That you would move closer and closer to the ideal potential God holds out for you. Whether you still have children at home, whether you're still going to have children even yet in the future, or whether your children are gone, are married, and have their own children, whatever the case is, I pray, I ask that God would bless you, that you would become more and more and more and closer and closer and closer to the ideal that God has in mind for you as a mother, that He would bless you with that. Keep in mind that you must always remain aware and forgiving of yourselves for your humanity, for your failures, for the circumstances of your own reality beyond your ability to change. None have ever done it perfectly. So don't beat yourself up. You know, that's the thing. See, here's the thing, brother. God knows who we are. All mothers are still just daughters of Eve, who was made from Adam, who was made from the dust of the earth. God knows our frame and our circumstances. And we need to remember, God tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. God is still perfecting us, including mothers. Mothers do an incredible job. I want to say that I would not volunteer for the job. Except for the fact that I know that we're going to be part of the bride of Christ, who are going to be mothers. If you think that through, you understand this is talking to all of us. And that's sobering. So let all of us become better children and better parents, submitting to our wonderful Heavenly Parent who has blessed us abundantly and who desires to bless us even more as we move toward eternity with God in His family. God bless you, mothers and potential mothers, including us, the men. and the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wife you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless you.